Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Rainbow Soul, feels good to be here with you as always. I got to tell you, it was blazing hot here in New York today as we reached the first day of summer here in New York. So it was a great way for us to bring in summer. It's pretty hot. A lot of schools were closed down, things of that sort. But I got to tell you, I'm a hot weather person. So it was all good for me. I don't like the cold weather as well. And with the hot weather today, it's such an easy transition. Because my guest today, Stacey Francis, was a hot finalist and a fan favorite on the first season of Simon Cowell's new show, The X Factor, here in the U.S. And her audition blew Simon away as he gave her one of the few standing ovations that he's ever given anybody. And he proclaimed that he'd been doing this a long time, that this was one of the best auditions that I had ever seen in my life, that he loved it, that he said, I love you. And L.A. Reid declared that she literally made the hairs stand out on his arms and stand up. And so she got some really nice accolades from the host. Stacey Francis is my guest today. She has a new single out. She did the cover of Prince's Purple Rain, and she has also partnered with QB.com in getting her music video out there and other social media types of platforms out there as well, and we'll get that to a little later on. Stacey Francis, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm thank you. Excited. You should be. You should be proud of yourself. I follow these music shows. I don't do a lot of reality television, but I do like the music shows because, you know, here at Blake Radio, we're really into music, and we love to see what the future holds. So I did follow X Factor last year. I thought you did a great job. Let's start
Thank
there.
You.
You know, You absolutely did a positively great job. Let's start right there. Where and how and why did you decide to audition for X Factor?
You know, I decided to do the show because I felt like it was really like my last chance. You know, Simon Cowell is a believer in artists. He doesn't care how old they are. He doesn't, you know, he's not caught up on age and all that. He really just believes in talent. And when I had a friend in London who I'm very close to, and she kept telling me about the UK version of X Factor. And then I remember a couple of years ago when Simon left American Idol, it was rumored that he was going to be doing a show called X Factor. So I started watching the X Factor UK YouTube auditions. And you know, I really want to meet Simon. I really think that. And then Susan Boyle, you know, what happened with her. And I was like, you know, I just thought he was the only guy that would give me a chance in the record industry because everyone else was very, very stuck on age. And I said, you know, I really want to meet him. So I put a picture of him on my wall. And I started Googling him every day, just Simon Cowell. I would just Google and see, you know, what was going on, because at the time there was no website. There was nothing that led me to any idea of what the abstract was going to be. And then eventually there was a website, and there was information about the auditions, and I was pregnant, and I was thinking, okay, I gotta get this weight off. So once I had the baby and I found out about the auditions, I remember learning about them in February, and by May, I was standing in front of Simon.
Wow.
But I mean, I went through, you know, I had to stand on line for 20,000 people. I did the whole thing. I kept Googling and seeing what city was in and when it was coming to L.A. or, you know, I was even willing to travel to New York because my family is there. But I actually did my audition here in L.A.
Oh, out in L.A. Wow. Now, tell the audience, I mean, a lot of people follow reality shows. You know, they think reality shows are so simple. You know, it's just a camera following you, so on and so forth. Tell the audience a little bit how grueling it must have been to have to learn 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 songs, and tell the audience, you know, how many hours a day you had to put in and for how many months you had to commit yourself to this project.
Well, it was very difficult. I mean, once we got to the live shows, it was very strenuous because, you know, I didn't pick my songs. You know, I wasn't really picking my songs, and so I would have to really learn them and drill them and try to get them in my body. I mean, I remember with Purple Rain, I was just like, man, I'm just going to get kicked off because how am I going to do Purple Rain? You know, like, what am I going to do with Purple Rain? And so, you know, I just remember taking that song and just going, okay, let me Google and see what Purple Rain even means, you know, and I found on Wikipedia where Prince defined it as God's love. And then once I realized, okay, it's God's love raining down on you, I just took it and put a little twist on it and made a little gospel and this and that. Sort of put it in my own body, you know, how I interpret songs. And that's the only thing, you know, I would just drill and drill and drill and drill and drill. I mean, it's hours and hours of work. And the biggest part, I remember, you know, it would be 7, 8, 9, 10 hours in the studio was finding songs, because they always wanted to find songs that either no other show had done, you know, like American Idol or any other show. They wanted you to do very unique songs, and then they would throw songs at you that you just either had never heard of, or it was very popular, you know, in Europe, or just nothing that was really anything that I would choose for myself. So that was the hardest part, and it was very emotional because you knew as a contestant that everything would ride on that, and if you did wrong or if you did bad, then that's what would get you kicked off. So, you know, and in fact, that's what I think in the end did harm to me in my journey on the show. The song choices toward the end were not as great.
Right. Now, you said you didn't have any say in the song choices. Is that what it was?
The only songs that I picked were Natural Woman, Summertime, and that was it. Up the Mountain,
okay.
Simon Paul picked, and the rest of them were picked by behind-the-scenes producers.
Okay, they pretty much pick everything for you. Now, how was it working with Nicole?
Nicole was a great girl. It was great. We had our ups and downs. You know, just like anything, you get very emotional. And for me, you know, once I left the show, I was very emotional and very hurt, and I was looking to point the finger at whoever I could point the finger at. But at the end of the day, you know, it was a great experience, and she was awesome, and she was, you know, she did a great job. And I, you know, I had people that said, oh, she didn't pick a song for you. And, you know, it was, I think, you know, in hindsight, I kind of pointed the finger at her, and I kind of took the road of, you know, I really didn't appreciate, you know, the song choices, and I kind of got upset. But at the end of the day, I mean, she's a good person. I had a great time with her. We built, like, a really good sisterhood with each other. She seemed to be very concerned for me and my journey on the show. I love her. I think, I was very honored to work with her. She's a good artist, and she's a good person. And, you know, you just got to take the good and the bad. You know, I lost, and I had to, you know, kind of suck it up and just accept it for what it was.
Yeah. Do you think
it was hard at one time. I was very emotional back, you know, when I first got eliminated, and I probably said some things that I shouldn't have said, and, you know, I just...
To Nicole?
It was very difficult. Huh?
Said some things to Nicole, you mean behind the scenes?
No, just about her. You know, I wanted to blame someone, and that just wasn't right. You can't blame anybody. It's just you got to take responsibility, you know?
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Do you think some of her song choices for, you know, you folks in the over 30 group, is that one of the reasons why she's not returning next year, do you think?
You know what? I have no idea. I think, you know, I think the first season, you know, and it's because Simon did make a lot of changes. I mean, he fired the host, he fired Paula, he fired Nicole. I think, you know, he was probably, it was the first season. And just like anything else, you know, you like, he's probably like seeing what works here. He saw what worked in the UK, didn't work in America. It's a different audience, you know. So I don't know. I think he was just trying, you know, he's trying to get the kinks out. You know what I mean? I'm sure the second season will be better than the first, and then the third will be better than the second. You know, it'll always get better. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm not blaming Nicole or Paul or anyone. The show was not built yet on a strong foundation because it was the first time it was being shown in America. So we all kind of, you know, were kind of like out there. You know what I mean? Simon wanted to get 20 million viewers. I think he got 18. I mean, 15. I wouldn't complain about that. But, you know, he's a perfectionist, and he wants to make sure it's great. So he went and got Brittany and Demi Lovato. I'm sure he, you know, he has his purpose for that. He's a smart guy. He does things with true intention. So, you know, I just think that no one can call anyone, like, bad at what they did, because the reality is the show was a hit, it did great, but Simon had a different, you know, a different vision for it. So he knows what his vision is, and we have to trust it, and that's what it was. I don't know why she got fired. I don't know. Only Simon would know that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he wants to make money, in the television world, it's definitely all about ratings. Well, that'll be enough about X Factor, and I have to say, no matter what happens, how long the show lasts, you know, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever, you will go down in history because you were a part of the first year. So
yeah, and I'm very honored. I'm very, very honored. You know, I had moments when I was just like, you know, maybe I should have waited, or, you know, my father died, maybe I should have gone to his funeral and, you know, just bit the bullet and been a part of another season. But, you know, you do everything, you know, God has a reason, you know, everything happens for a purpose, and, you know, I just have to be grateful, and I'm having my gratitude moments, and I take moments, and I just say thank you, Lord, for having me on and giving me the visibility that I had. And, you know, you're right, I was on the first season, and I got a chance to meet Simon and know him, and he knows me, and I'm honored that happened for me in my life, you know, and that's just how I have to look at it. I can't be a sore loser and always be hurt by the fact that I lost. I just have to look at it as the win that it was, that I was there and I gained followers and people that, you know, people like you want to talk to me and, you know, people want to hear my songs, and I'm just honored. I feel blessed, and I just have to keep fighting and keep going, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
You just mentioned your dad, and why don't you talk, because I was going to ask you about that, why don't you talk a little bit about that? I mean, I don't know if a lot of people know, but your dad passed right before the show started or something like that, right?
Well, actually, my dad passed on the day that I arrived at boot camp, which was my first audition that I got passed to the next level. The next round was boot camp, and I had to go away and stay at a hotel and that sort of thing, and we were there for a week, and it was like a very strenuous week. You know, they were waking us up at 5 a.m. It was like it was called boot camp for a reason. It was waking up and getting there and spending 10 hours a day and learning songs and dancing. It was just, you know, it was really strenuous. And that day that I arrived, my father died, and I was just like devastated. And I didn't tell the judges. I just kept it to myself for the whole week. And then by the time the show, that last performance that you saw, Summertime, is when I told them. And by that time, we had been there for a week, and they didn't even know. So it was just, you know, it was, man, like, why? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Why? You know, so, but I know my father would have wanted me to stay. He really believed in my dream. He believed in me. And my mother was just very adamant about, you know, me continuing on, and it was really hard. It was really, really difficult.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have a close relationship with your father?
You know what? For many years, I did. I lived with them for many years. He was my stepdad. So my mom, we get into a different area here, but my mom, I didn't grow up with my mom, but he had been married to her for over 40 years. And so when I was you know, when I was with my mom, and that I lived with them a few years in my older years, in my 20s. And he was a great man. He loved my mother until the day he died. He loved her like it was the first day he had ever met her and loved her. I mean, he was just a great man. And, you know, he loved me and my sister and my niece as if we were all his own children. He was a great guy. He was one of the best men I've ever known. I mean, really, truly loyal and dedicated to his family, and he was a great guy. So, you know, yes, I unfortunately am not a woman that grew up with a dad in my household, with a close relationship with a father that raised me as a father and a daughter, but he was a good stepdad, and he really, really loved my mom, and that's all I could ask for.
Those kind of relationships with men help to shape the kind of relationships you're going to have as a woman in this world, right?
It does. If you don't have that, it really, I'm laughing at my Twitter followers. They're making fun of my Brooklyn accent. Because I'm so relaxed, they don't know this, but I'm in my house. You're in the studio in New York, and I'm in my house. I'm sitting on the couch, and my accent gets very, very strong when I'm comfortable. Like when I'm at home and I'm in my house, I'm very, very comfortable. My accent comes out strongly. On television or in interviews on TV, most times it doesn't, because I just, you know, I'm very aware of it. But right now I'm sitting on my couch. I'm looking, you know, I'm talking to you. I'm like, and everybody's taking fun of my Brooklyn accent right now. But
And you're relaxing. Yes. And that's what I told you I wanted you to do. Just be yourself and be comfortable.
Yeah, your accent is so strong. But yeah, it is. And I've been in L.A. for 12 years, so it's not going anywhere. But what I want to say, that's Tawana and Pinky. I'm going to give them a shout-out so they could go crazy. But anyway, what I was saying was, yes, it means everything. It means everything when you have that relationship with a man and that security as a woman. You feel like you feel safe with a guy, and it's your dad, and he gives you that. It's a lot of self-esteem comes from that. A lot of self-confidence comes from that. And when you don't have that, the exact opposite happens. So it's a very important element for a woman to have that. Yes, I agree. You're right.
Yeah, and we're going to get back to you and your relationships and things like that. Let's start at the beginning. You just mentioned your Brooklyn accent. Where in Brooklyn are you from?
I'm from Brownsville.
And you're from the Ville in Brooklyn,
I'm from East New York, Brownsville, like the tip of Brownsville at the top of the hill. And I went to junior high in Bed-Stuy, and I went to high school in Flatbush.
Yeah, yeah. I grew up in Brooklyn, too. I don't know if you know where Ebbets Field is at. That's where I grew up all my life.
Oh, of course. Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's Crown Heights, right?
Crown Heights. I went to Jackie Robinson Junior High School right across the street where I grew up.
Look at that. Okay, I got you. All right, that's what's up.
Yeah, and we're not too far apart. You're like 42, something like that. I'm 50, you know, so we're kind of in the same age group there, I would say. Well, I don't want to put you in the 50-year-old group.
Come on, don't put me up there. Yes, come on. Give me a break.
You're not ready for that yet. Yeah,
no, I'm not.
And you're doing good, and I must say, for 40-something, you are doing really good, because you know how a lot of these 40-year-olds are looking out here these days, right?
Well, you know what? It's so funny, because I'm sure you're going to want to talk about this, and we will eventually whenever you feel comfortable, because I'm not scared of it. But Wendy Williams had me on Hot Topics today, and she was, you know, she was going in on me a little bit, but she did say that I look good. So I took that, and I was like, okay, I'm going to take that. Thanks, Wendy, you know. But I try to take good care of myself. I try to live my life in a very stress-free environment, you know, but... You know, I think living in California helps me, and I get to go to the beach, and I work out, and I do things for my health that help me. I want to eventually do a beauty line that will tell people what I do, my beauty regimen, because I do have one. I do believe you have to have a skincare regimen. It's very important for a woman. You know, one of the main things is definitely making sure you wash your face every night before you go to sleep, just the simple getting makeup off and putting moisturizer on, you know, so... that's something that I really look forward to doing in the future.
Well, and you will do it. You do it for sure. So tell the audience your journey. So you grew up in Brooklyn, and then continue on from there. What, have you been singing all of your life? Did it something that you just wanted to do midlife
I grew up in Brooklyn. I grew up in church. My auntie still has the church. Actually, we celebrated our 47th year church anniversary 2 weeks ago. I was in New York, and I did a concert for her there. And my uncle... was the pastor for many, many years. He passed away in 2003, and when I was about 3 or 4 years old, I was introduced to singing, and he would have me singing, you know, a song before he did his sermon, and then on, you know, during the summers, I would travel with him to the South, and, you know, I didn't realize it, but, you know, unbeknownst to me, I was completely building, like, learning how to sing in front of an audience, and it was taking away fear, and it was taking away, you know, anything that I didn't, that any inhibition that I had about singing in front of an audience. It helped me by growing up in church, singing in the choir, and, you know, being in an element, and so that's where I started. And then when I was about 16, I went on to do musical theater. I did a show in New York called Mama, I Want to Sing. I'm sure you remember that back in the day.
Yeah, I saw that. By Higginson, yeah.
Yeah, by Higginson. I did that, and then that took me to Europe and so many places and that sort of thing. And then when I came back home, I think I was like 18 or 19, I don't know if you remember the group called Ex-Girlfriend. I was in a girl group on Warner Brothers Records called Ex-Girlfriend. I was too insecure to sing, go do a solo album, so I was approached to be in this girl group, and I was very heavy at the time, and, you know, I didn't think I was a great singer, so I went out and started this girl group, and we did two albums for Warner Brothers that failed horribly, and that was just a really, really bad experience, and we were part of the 90s, you know, that whole New Jack Swing movement, and we were dancers and the whole thing, but we got ripped off pretty bad on there. And then when that didn't go well, I went back to doing musical theater. And so Buy Higginson took me to London, and I did the show on a very big scale. You know, the West End is very equivalent to Broadway, so I got my equity card, and when I came back home, I was on Broadway for a bunch of years. And then this is where I got in trouble on the X Factor. This is why I was called a liar, because I felt like those things didn't take me where I really wanted to go. And I know I had been on Broadway and I did the girl group thing, but those were not my aspirations. You know, at some point I did want to have a solo deal. I did want to be a recording artist. I did want to sell millions of records, and that had never happened. I wanted to be a household name, and that had never happened. And around 2000 or around 1999, I was with someone, and it was a really bad relationship, and things went really downhill from there. And I was about 30 years old, and he was telling me I was too old and I wasn't going to amount to anything. And he would hit me, and it just all stopped, and I stopped singing. And, you know, I would do little things here and there where I would do, like, maybe a musical theater piece. I remember doing Dreamgirls. Like, I paid, like, $300 to come down to a 99-seat theater, and a friend of mine was directing it, so I did it for him. But it wasn't, you know, it was a 99-seat theater, you know what I mean? It wasn't, like, anything Broadway or anything. So I would do little things here and there to try to make money, try to make ends meet. But overall, it was about, I can't remember specifically, but there were several years where I wouldn't sing at all. I just stopped singing. And, you know, it just was very difficult for me. And so I finally left him, and that was just like a big chunk of my life that seemed like a bunch of wasted time, you know, and I was just like, okay. And I left him, and I found when I was single, I had a little boy, and now I'm pregnant with another baby, and that was a catastrophe. And I just made a lot of bad decisions and a lot of bad mistakes. And I said, you know, the only thing that I know how to do to feed my kids is to sing. So that's when I started praying, and I started listening to lectures and reading. And that's when I said, you know, the only thing I can do, the only person that I know that probably would help me is Simon Cowell. And that's what led me to do the X Factor.
Did you know that music was going to be your destiny?
I think that I had such self-doubt that, honestly, and I know this sounds really, really crazy, but up until I did the X Factor and I started looking at myself on television, and, like, I would come home and I would watch myself, it was when I was like, wow, you know, people like me. Wow, I can sing, you know. It was weird. I mean, I think I had spent a large part of my life not believing in myself and doubting myself and being very invalidated by others. I would believe what they said, and I wasn't good enough, and I was too old, and I sang too loud, and I sang too hard, and I sang too high, and nothing was ever good enough. And then I started believing that. So I never thought that music would be my destiny. I knew that that was the only thing I knew how to do.
Yeah.
In a sense of, no matter what, maybe I'll be able to make a dollar or things, but I know I'm not, you know, I didn't ever feel great until I got on the X Factor, and I was just like, wow, you know, and then I would watch that, and there would be pitchy moments, and I'd be off key, and I'd be a little flat and pitchy, and I was fighting for what they call in-ear monitors on the show, because what happened was, I remember at the live show, my first live show, you get there, and see, the first 2 months of the show, you're like, it's all taped, right? So the world is getting to know you because they're watching you every week. By the time you get to live shows, everybody knows you. So on my first live show performance, everybody knew me because I had been on TV for 2 months, but I didn't feel the difference. You know what I'm saying? Like, as I wasn't aware of my own celebrity at that moment until they opened the thing and I walk out and the audience is going nuts, calling my name. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I realized, wait, I've been on TV for the last 2 months, so they do know me. They saw me do Purple Rain in the Cold House. They saw me, you know, do Natural Woman. Like, these moments happened before I got to the live stage, right? Now, the audience is screaming so loud, I can hardly hear the track. I can hardly hear myself, and I'm flabbergasted. You know what I mean? So it's like all those things can throw you off. So, I'm like, okay, so each week I'm fighting against that. And I was like, please, you know, I need an in-ear monitor. And, you know, I never got one. And then so I would watch myself, and I would have a very insecure moment because I would be like, why am I singing off key? And I had a friend that came to the show, and she was like, I know that you never sing off key, but when I was in that room, the TV audience can't hear it because they're not there and it's not feeding through the TV monitor, but the audience is screaming and going crazy. You don't want them not to, but it's hard, you know what I mean? So that with nerves and Simon Cowell sitting there and the judgment, and it's just like, whoa, it was just a lot to deal with. But, you know, I learned a lot. You know, I did VH1 last week. I got to do a live performance, and I had my in-ear monitors in, and I'm learning, you know, it's like learning all of this as I go. It's been really, really great. And so, you know, I've been taking voice lessons and just trying to make sure that I'm ready. You know what I mean? No matter what, when somebody calls me, I'm ready, and that my fans get the best of me. So it's just been really great. It's been really, really awesome.
It sounds like it, Stacey, and it sounds like that you've really been growing. Let me just go back to the abuse for 1 second. If you had to give any advice to women and men, because there's men who are being abused as well, what advice would you give them as far as being in an abusive relationship?
My advice is to get out. I mean, get out. You know, I think that the reason that I stayed because he was taking care of me. He was my support system, and I was like, where am I going to go? You know, and then he would come, and he would say, I'm sorry, and then I was ashamed. I didn't want to tell anybody. And what I learned is that there's so much that we go through as individuals that we don't talk about. You know what I mean? Like, we keep it to ourselves. We're secret. We don't want people to know that we're broke. We don't want people to know that, you know, we're going through a hard time or somebody hits you or somebody, you know, you just don't want to tell anybody because you have so much shame that's attached to it. But that shame could kill you. You have to ask for help. You have to get out. You have to, you know, and that's what it was for me. I was like, you know what, I got to get out of this. And nobody's going to believe that this is happening to me. Nobody. But I got to get out of here. This is not okay. And I went and I slept on my friend's couch until he just, you know, he didn't care how long until I got myself together, you know, and it was just hard, you know. And I mean, I have such a great book, but I was in my life, the guy was threatening my life, and I met a LAPD officer, and he was basically a friend of mine introduced me to him, and I started dating this cop. And I was just like, okay. And then I married him. It was weird. It was like 6 months we was married. Yeah. And then I divorced him because it was like rebound and fear, and it was all the wrong reasons to marry this guy, you know. And so it was just, you know, I would say to anybody in that situation, male or female, you are worthy. You don't deserve that. There's no reason in the world to be in a situation where somebody's hitting you. Like, it's just not cool. And I understand for women that are in that situation, you know, there's so many, you know, the highest percentage of homeless people are women with children living in shelters.
Yeah.
Because these women, they have to leave the guy, and they take their kid with them, and they don't have any way to support themselves, and the guy is using that over them, you know what I mean, making them stay there because he's like, well, where are you going to go? And they end up homeless. And it's a very sad situation. But I would just say protect yourself. I would say love yourself more, you know. And it took me a long time. I lived all of my 30s in doubt about who I was. I didn't think I was pretty. I didn't think I was talented. I mean, I had this guy doing a number on me that way. And you got to really, really believe what God says about you and not what man says about you. And that's about it. I mean, I know it sounds simple, but it just takes a commitment to God, and it takes a commitment to loving yourself and making sure that you love yourself enough to get out. You have to.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the defining moment for you during that abusive relationship where you said, you know what, enough is enough. It's time for me to get out of this.
He had punched me in my eye. He had punched me so hard in my face that I thought my whole face had cracked. And I was just like, and I didn't want to call my mom. I didn't want to call my aunt. I didn't want to call anybody. And I remember just sitting, like, in the house, and he had left. And I remember, like, thinking, where am I going to go? And I looked in the mirror, and he had punched me so hard on one side of my face that I had two black eyes. And I've never told this story, but I just looked at myself, and I was like, you can't do this anymore. You cannot do this anymore. And I left, and I came back a couple of days later to try to get some of my stuff, and he was there with his dad, and they were going to take everything away from me, and it was just crazy. And the police came. It was crazy. And I was just like, you know what? We can't do this anymore. You know, and it was just that moment where I was just like, I can't do this. This is not cool. It's not good. This is not good. And you just pray and you just say, you know, God, give me strength. And then you find that way. You find that way out. You call. You finally break down. And you tell somebody, you know, what it is that you're going through, and you ask for help. And so many of us don't want to ask for help because we have that shame. But trust me, you're not the only one going through it. There's other people that are going through it as well, and there are people that want to help you. There are foundations that want to help you. There's social workers that want to help you. There's people, churches, pastors, people that want to help you. There's no reason in the world to stay in that situation, you know? Yeah. And so that's basically where I stand on it now. And I'm helping people, I'm helping other women, and I'm working with organizations, and we've helped a lot of women, and it's just been great. And I got to say, had I not been through that situation, I wouldn't be able to know, I wouldn't know what I'm looking at when I'm looking at it. I wouldn't be able to relate to her, and I wouldn't be able to help. So God puts you through whatever you're going through. You might not know it, but he puts you through whatever you're going through at that time so that you can have a testimony, because without a test, you cannot have a testimony. So life is not going to be perfect. God gives us a purpose. He wants us to help each other, and you have to learn. You have to learn. And unfortunately, learning those lessons might be hard, but it builds character, it builds tenacity, it builds strength, it builds courage, and it builds persistence, and it builds a teacher. So then you can go be a leader and teach and help someone else get out of the situation. So even in that, I have to say, I thank God. And I'm going to tell you one more thing. It really, really helps me from where I sing from. People say, you know, how do you sing like that? Why do you sing like that? Where's that emotion coming from? That brokenness, that pain that I sing from, it comes from my experience. Had I not been through all that I've been through, I wouldn't sing the way I sing. I wouldn't be able to move and minister to people the way I do. So, you know, there you go. You never know. You never know why. You never know. You can't ask why. You just got to trust. And
absolutely.
Know that you're where you are for a purpose.
Yep, we go through things for a reason. How many years ago was that when you left?
2000, sorry.
No, that's all right. Let's just say roughly about 10 years ago. Where are you at right now? How are you doing now these days, Stacey? Are you over it? How are you making up?
No, it wasn't that long ago, but it was maybe 7 years.
7 years, okay. How are you doing
now? You know, listen, I still deal with my own issues. I still deal with my hurt. That's where I'm at. I'm still growing.
Yeah.
I'm learning. I'm not perfect. You know, no one is. I'm still working on myself.
Yeah.
I put all of my music. I write songs that hopefully people can relate to, and I put it all in my music. And I don't sing, my songs will not be, you know, like happiness, love songs. That's not where I'm at right now. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's going to be brokenness. It's going to be heartache. It's going to be, I wish he loved me like I love him. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be brokenness.
Yeah.
So I'm not, you know, I'm not going to apologize for it.
I want to sing
where I'm at, you know, and I want people to be able to relate to it. You know,
and there are plenty of people who can, and that's what the music is for. Does life sometime at this point in 2012, does it seem very overwhelming to you at this point?
Well, I'm a single mom with two kids, you know, so it's very overwhelming. I lost the show, so, you know, I definitely am still trying to make it go right with, you know, with my salary and my future and my kids going to school, and, you know, so it still can be overwhelming, but the reality is, like I said, I look at each thing now as a lesson. What am I here to learn? What am I supposed to know in this situation? I do have a reality show coming up, and I'm very excited about that because there's things that have happened, you know, this year, as we know, and I'm sure you'll talk about it, and that's fine. I want people to know me. I want them to see my side. I want them to know who I am as a person. I want them to get it, you know. So that's where I'm at, you know, and. You know, we'll talk about QB in a minute when Mark comes on the line, but as an independent artist, having a company like QB come on board and they did my video and they're an amazing company and believing in me, you know, it's very helpful. So I'm just every day, you know, I'm trying to be as innovative as possible and get my music out there and be known and for people to know me for my art, not all the drama and all the bull crap, you know, but really, really know me for being a singer and a mom, and, you know, it's very important to me.
Yeah. You know, what we're going to do, we were going to bring Mark on at the bottom of the hour. This is what we're going to do because we're off at 11 o'clock, but what we're going to do is we're going to continue on with the broadcast because we have 20 minutes left. And you and I seem like we can talk almost for 2 hours.
We could.
Yeah. So what I want to do is I want to get the calls. And, Mark, I know you're on the line and you can hear us. We are going to bring you on. Don't worry about that. But I want to get the callers on this live portion. And then when the show is completed, the entire show will be available for download. So the people who get cut off at 11 o'clock, just log back in 2 hours later and you'll be able to hear the entire Stacey Francis interview here. I'm going to start to go to some phone calls here. There's a bunch of people online. I just want to say this to you folks. I haven't really gotten a chance to get to Stacey yet about the Whitney Houston comment that she made and also about her little incident down in Atlanta. And I'm going to do that because, as I told Stacey and her PR person, I'd be doing a disservice to the listeners if I didn't talk about it. But I'm going to open up the phone lines, and I ask is that if you have anything negative to say to Stacey, that's fine, but let's just all be respectful of the medium, and Stacey will be respectful of you, and maybe we can get some answers that will make sense to everybody. The first call we're going to take is 0045. Do you have a question?
Hi, Stacey. This is Solana.
Hey, Tawana. Oh, my goodness. That's so funny. Okay, let me tell him who Tawana is. Tawana is one of my followers on Twitter. She's out of Detroit, and she came out of an abusive relationship, and she's one of the people that follows me on Twitter and is such an amazing fan and tweets my songs and my videos and everything, anything that I have online. She tweets it every day for me, and she's just been a loyal fan. What's going on, Tawana? I'm so glad you called in.
Oh, I'm so glad I called in. I just wanted to let you know I love you, and I will continue.
I love you, Tawana. You're such an amazing fan. I really appreciate that, and one day we'll meet, I'm sure.
Oh, I hope so. Well, I just wanted to let you know, stay strong and keep it going.
Thank you, Tawana.
Okay,
thank you so much. Thank you. I love
okay.
you, girl. Thank you.
We're going to move on to the next caller. Here we have 0480. Do you have a question?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air live.
Hi, Stacey.
Hi.
How are you? Oh, my gosh. I'm a huge fan.
Hi, what's your name?
Noel. I'm King of Hot Topics on Twitter.
Oh, hi, Noel.
Hi.
That's so cute. Hi. Thank you so much for calling in. Do you have a question?
Yeah. I wanted to know if you can you talk about the reality show?
Yes. Well, I can't talk much about it because we're in the middle of doing the deal right now. But
that's fine, yeah.
It's going to be awesome. The creators of the Housewives shows, the Housewives of Atlanta, New York, New Jersey, Miami, and Fremantle, who do American Idol, X Factor, and America's Got Talent. They're producing the show, and it's really going to be amazing. I mean, I'm really, really excited about it, and I think the fans are going to love it. It's just going to follow me around, and as I create my project, do my album, you know, get whatever part of my life that it happens, you'll get to see it. But the wonderful thing is that you'll get a chance to get to know me more and, you know my true personality and get to see me and how I interact with everybody. It's going to be great. It's really, really going to be great. I'm really excited about it.
That's awesome. I'll be watching. If it's not too much to ask, can you follow me on Twitter?
Okay, I'll follow you. If you hit me up right now, I will. I'll follow you. Tweet me now.
What do you want me to say?
Tell me you love me, and I'll tell you I love you back, and I'll follow you.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot. We're gonna move on. Thank you. We have another caller on the line, 9034. 9034, you're on the line.
Hi, Stacey, it's Denisha.
Hi, Denisha. That's Detroit calling. What's going on, girl?
Nothing, girl. How are you?
All my fans are calling in. That's so amazing.
That's beautiful. Beautiful.
I'm so happy. I've been on hold for like an hour.
Well, thanks for holding on.
What's your question?
Thanks for holding on.
Oh, I just wanted to tell Stacey that I love her and to keep stay strong and to keep going.
Okay, thank you, honey.
Thank you so much, Sawant. Thank you so much, Denisha. Love you, girl.
Okay, we have caller 1507. You're on the line.
Hi, Stacey. Oh my gosh. I got a question. Who is your most favorite person on X Factor when you were like on the show?
Simon Cowell. I love him so much. Simon is my favorite. I just I have a lot of admiration. People are like, why you love him so much? And I love him because he just saw me. Like, he didn't care about my age. He didn't care. He wasn't caught up on, anything but my voice. And he really, really supported me. And he didn't allow any of the music industry nonsense to get in the way, like other people did. And I really just love him for that. He just gave me the exposure that I had, and he gave me my life. He gave me a career, and I'll always, always, always be grateful to him for that.
Thank you so much.
We
got to move on. Okay, I'm sorry about that because we have a lot of calls, and we only have 17 minutes.
You can tweet me at StaceyFrancis.com, StaceyFrancis at StaceyFrancis, and I'll answer your question.
There you go. 3974, you're on the line live. You have a question for Stacey?
Hi. This is Raven.
What's going on, Raven? You got me again this time, huh? You always get me on my radio interviews. What's going on, girl?
Nothing.
Thank you for calling.
Do you have a question, Raven?
I was just going to ask you, make a suggestion. You should write a book, because your life is really interesting.
Well, that's the plan. I want to write a book, and I want to help a lot of people and a lot of women and, especially people that are older that gave up on their dreams. I think that they should definitely be inspired, and I definitely want to write a book. I really appreciate that. You would buy it?
Yes, I would, of course.
Okay, good. All right.
That's it. Thank you, Stacey.
Thank you.
And Stacey, you're good. You're getting that. Look, putting those feelers out now, right? See if they'll buy your book. 8396, you're live on the line. You have a question? 8396? Do you have a question? Okay, we're going to move on. 8937, do you have a question? 8397, do you have a question? Okay, well, I went
Hello.
Through. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, you have a question? But Stacey?
Yes, I do. This is
go ahead.
Child,
Stacey.
Hello?
Who's
Hello? This is one of your fans, Virgo Child.
What'd she say? I can't hear her.
This is one of your fans.
Oh,
what's
hi.
Your question for Stacey?
No, I don't have a question. I just
Oh, you don't? You just
support.
Wanted to say hello. Okay, no problem. Well, we appreciate you stopping by. What we're going to do is we have 15 minutes. We have 15 minutes left, Stacey. What we're going to do now is we're going to play Purple Rain. We're going to bring Mark in. Mark, whatever you do, do not hang up, because once we pass the hour, you won't be able to get back in. So don't hang up. We're going to play Purple Rain. Tell us a little bit about why you decided to release your first single, Purple Rain, out there to the world.
The reason that I decided to do Purple Rain was because when people saw it on the X Factor, it was only 2 minutes long, and everybody was in love with it, the way that I did it on the show, and I loved it so much. I loved that it made God's love raining down on you, and I was just like, you know what, I really want to give the fans a full version of it. I don't even want to call it, like, my first single, you know what I mean? It's just the song, a gift to the fans, you know, and they, like I said, they heard it on the X Factor, and then when QB came along and they were like, let's do a video, I was like, oh, my God, you know. So, and they did an amazing, amazing, amazing video. I should say QB.com/StacyFrances. You can go to that and see the video. And they did the video and the whole thing in front of a green screen, and it was amazing. So I was just like, you know what, God has really got his hand on this, so let's just go with it. So I decided to do it for that, and people have loved it, and it's, I've been getting a lot of great reception, a lot of great reception.
Excellent. And it's a beautiful track. I love Prince. I love this track. We're going to play Purple Rain, folks. When we come back, we're going to talk with Stacy a little bit more about the track, and we're going to introduce to you Mark Brogdon of QB, and he's going to tell you what the new technology is enabling independent artists to do, how they can take their lives and their careers in their own hands. So take a listen. We'll be right back.
I never meant to cause you any sorrow. I never meant to cause you any pain. I only wanted one time to be lasting.
Purple rain, purple rain.
beautiful track, Stacey. I gotta
tell you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So much.
Beautiful track. You did a great job with that.
Thank you. I had a great time singing that. It was from my heart. It really, really was. Can I just, okay, I got to do this because I got Lisa and Jay Clifford from Scotland. They're listening in right now. They're up at 4 o'clock in the morning, Neil, listening to us. And I got Heather. I believe she's overseas as well. So I told they on Twitter, they asked me to say hello. So I wanted to say hello to them. They can't call in because they're in Europe. So you got to shout them out.
Big hello to you. We really do appreciate you stopping by and checking in. I'm Neil Blake. You're listening to BlakeRadio.com. The name of the channel is Rainbow Soul. With me on the line today is the beautiful and talented Miss Stacey Francis. And joining the conversation now is Mark Brogdon. He's a VP over at QB. Mark, welcome to the conversation.
Thank you.
How's everybody?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you clearly. So tell us what kind of services and what kind of platforms you guys have over there now with QB, enabling independent artists to get their music videos and other things done out there without having to have a big corporation behind them.
First of all, Neil, I want to thank you for having us on the line. And after listening to Stacey and her conversation earlier, I'm honored to be part of her journey. And I think this is part of a journey. And QB is truly behind her, as we are with most independent artists. QB is really a communication platform. It is designed to leverage the power of the internet without a dependency of a browser to deliver content. It allows providers of product, service, and information to have an assertive and communicative reach to all of their followers, and it's built in the ability to deliver visual and interactive notifications that appear on the mobile top, the desktop, and all the tops that you can get to reach their people. So we're really excited that she chose this technology to reach her 418,000 Twitter followers and over 30,000 Facebook followers. And it's just been an amazing experience to work with Stacey Francis.
Thank you.
Now, what services do you specifically provide to your artists? And name some other artists who are currently using your platform right now.
Well, we just got Chris Brown, we got Layla Hathaway, we have Bill Maher, we have over 120, and we're still in our beta. We got over 120 artists. Yep, and Kelly Rowland. We have over 120 artists with a cumulative social media reach of about 300 million people followers. And what we are basically is an aggregate of all your social media. So we know that people are using Twitter and they're using Facebook and Instagram. Well, we aggregate all those in one central location. So, you know, independent artists can reach out to all their fans with one click instead of having to log off and go into this browser and go into that browser. It really helps them to assertively reach each one of their followers.
How did you help Stacey put together the video?
Thanks for asking that. Stacey came to our office with an attorney that was a friend of QB. And when she walked in and, you know, we saw her, we heard her story, we heard her passion, and she played for us on Purple Rain, and we've never really produced a full feature-length video for an artist, but we felt compelled to do so, knowing that she was in the struggle as a new artist. And I use the word new lightly, obviously. And when we started working to her, it became a partnership. And if you go to www.qubeey.com/Stacey Francis, you will see the outcome of this tremendous effort that we all put into this video. It's been just a broadcast version of something that you would normally have to spend $400,000 to produce. And with her creativity, our technology, it's something that you'll never, expect to see.
Yeah, and you guys did a really good job with that. Now, how long did the process take? How long did it take to actually make the music video?
From the moment she walked through the door to output, about 2 weeks tops.
Wow.
Most of that was the rendering time and such. But in addition to just the video, one of the things, and I call it assertive reach, what it allows Stacey to do is actually walk out on your desktop. So she will, if you're following her, it's an opt-in environment. So if you're following Stacey's channel, she can walk out to your desktop on top of your Word document or Excel document and say, hey, I got some new material right here. You know, you're a friend of mine. You're in Scotland. You're in Detroit, which I'm from Detroit, so I hate Detroiters. And, you know, she can actually say, click here and see my new material. Instead of waiting for somebody to go www.stacyfrancis.com and hope that they come there, well, she'll go out and tell you, you've followed my channel, so let me give you some information, or let me share with something with you that I'm sure that you want to hear.
Wow, that's incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, I've literally, like, there's a virtual image of me that'll walk out on your desktop.
Wow.
That's nuts. That I come out and I say hi. And it's crazy. Like, whatever your background is, if you could be on a Word doc, you could be working, and you click on my QB box and I walk out on your screen. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
It's so innovative and amazing.
Yeah,
how do you become a part of it? Once you sign up and you become a user, then you have access to Stacy at all points? I mean, she's like on your desktop all the time once you become a member?
It's an opt-in environment, so you follow Stacy's channel just like you follow a Facebook landing page just like you follow someone on Twitter. So if you don't want the walkout to happen, you have a silent mode, which you can say, well, just let me know that it's available for me to see whenever I want to see it.
Wow.
So you're not going to have things walking out anytime you want. But the good thing about QB, again, and it's a sort of nature, I don't go and follow things every day, and if there's some information I want to know about it, it's great for them to come and tell me as opposed to me having to continue to go to their website to find out about it.
That's crazy. Now, Stacy, how often do you walk out on people's desktops?
Well, I did a bunch of notifications, so, you know, they can click on any time, and I'll come out and I'll say, you know, here's my video, or, you know, come click here and see, you know, and there's, I have a bunch of pictures on there. You can see my kids. You can see, you know, my life is on there. You know, you can follow me. It's Twitter's on, you know, my Twitter feed, my Facebook feed, my videos. You know, it's very, very hands-on. You can make comments and win T-shirts and win, you know, it's just very, I'm very accessible to fans. I could do one-on-one cameras, conversations with up to 12 people at a time. It's really amazing. It gives my fans very close access to me.
Wow. We're running out of time here, Mark. Let folks know exactly where they can find your platform and where they specifically can find Stacy at.
Please, again, go to QUBEEY.com, and for Stacy specifically, /Stacy Francis. And you'll get to see some amazing technology. We got Akon, we got Chris Brown, we got some other things that's just going to blow your mind. So please come and check us out.
Okay, Mark, thank you. We're going to have you back on to talk a little bit more about this at a later date, okay?
Neil, it's been a pleasure and an honor, my friend, and I look forward to speaking to you soon. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay, Stacy, we have about 2 minutes left. We're going to continue the conversation. Folks, you're listening to Neil Blake Online here on Rainbow Soul. We're about 3 minutes before the hour of 11 here on the East Coast. The conversation's going to continue. To our live listeners, in about 2 minutes, you're going to get cut off. But trust me, when you go back and download the show, the entire program will be there for you seamlessly. So it's kind of like the Oprah After Dark or whatever she used to call it after the show. That's what we have here, and it will be seamless. So we hope that you'll come back and check out the entire interview. We got about 2 minutes left. Stacy, I told you I wouldn't ambush you, and I'm not going to, but we have to find out. Let's start off with the Whitney Houston situation. A lot of people thought it was a little insensitive and a little out of place with some of the comments you made shortly after Whitney's
what
death.
Comment?
What I like for people to do is, because I think we all make mistakes, things are not always the way they appear to be. That's one of the reasons why I wanted you to have you on, because I want you to tell your story the way it happened and exactly, you know, what the details were and you know, what your thoughts are several months later now.
You mean the details of the night or just
the details of the night with Whitney Houston?
I don't know that I need to go through the details of the night again. I can tell you this, and this is something that I will not be ashamed to say. Well, let me say this. First of all, I want to apologize for the thing that I want to apologize for was my insensitivity to the time that I spoke out. The lady was still, she wasn't even buried yet, and I feel like I was so hard-pressed to tell my side of the story because I was getting so beat up in the media that I wasn't sensitive to her family and to her fans. And for that, and me being a fan, for that, I'm very, very sorry for that. That was very insensitive on my part. But what I want to say is, you know, Pat Houston, when she went on the Oprah show and she said I was stalking Whitney, that was very wrong, and that was misinformation, and it wasn't cool. And so I understand that, you know, with the facts of what happened that night, Pat probably didn't want to go into details, but Pat was standing right on my left side. She said she was across the room, but she wasn't. She was right on my left side. She saw the whole situation. She saw how it all went down. And, you know, she had to protect her. She had to protect her family. So in that situation, she doesn't know me. So I was the one, also Ray and I got thrown under the bus on the Oprah show. And I understand it. What I want to say, like I said, I apologize that I spoke out so soon. I still know that there are details of the night that people don't know. And I can't, you know, it's a very, very difficult position for me to be in because I love her. You know, I loved her. She was somebody that I grew up on, and I love singing her songs. I love, you know, I love her. I loved her, and I respected her. You know, and unfortunately, the way that the night went, you know, for me to really, really, truly tell the details of the night, it would be disrespectful. So I think that that's where I stand on it. I think eventually I will have to tell the true story, but I think that the whole story, once it's told, it should be told probably with a camera on me so they can see my expressions. I think it's weird over the radio. You know what I mean? Talk about
no,
it.
I understand.
I want people to know that I have a sensitivity to her daughter and to her mom and to her family. And at the time when I spoke out, it was insensitive because she had not been buried yet. And I could understand why people would be upset with me for speaking out. Although I felt like I had been wronged, it wasn't the right time for me to defend myself. So.
Yeah.
Or in that case, looking back on it months later, I saw that you know, I made a mistake, and I'm human, and I have to take responsibility for that.
Absolutely, and we all make mistakes. We all grow from it, you know, and you're an artist, so it's definitely going to affect your music one way or the other. You know,
I loved her, you know, and I prayed, and I said, you know, God, why was it me? God knew she was going to pass. Nobody else knew. He knew he was taking her home 2 days later after she was in front of me. And, you know, the thing that I did learn about it was that we have to honor, you know, when you're standing in front of somebody that you love, you have to definitely respect that time because they walk away from you in the heat of the moment. They walk away, and you don't know when you're going to see them again or if you will see them again. So
yeah.
I try not to walk away from people, you know, too upset or, you know, because you never know. You just never know. When somebody you love, standing in front of them 1 minute, and the next minute they're gone, so. Definitely taught me a lesson.
Yeah. Now, how do you feel that you were wrong? Because you had said that the way you were being disrespected or something like that. Just go into that just a little bit, and then we'll get off this.
You mean, inside the club, Whitney didn't know who I was to Ray J.
Oh, I got you.
That's
okay.
What it was. She didn't understand my relationship to Ray J, and it just turned wrong. It just didn't turn out to be what it should have been. So that's where I leave it. She just didn't understand my friendship to him and who we were to each other. He's an old family friend. I've known him for, you know, Brandy was 14. Brandy is 32 now or whatever. So, you know, that's how long I've known that family. So she didn't know that, and, you know, things just didn't go well.
Yeah, yeah. And things happen when people are out. I think, like, and you said it tonight. I mean, one of the things is, you know, what went down, but at the end of the day, you feel like maybe you could have just handled it differently, you know, so close to her death, right? That's pretty much it.
Yeah, you know, and look, we're all a work in progress, you know what I mean?
That's
and,
right.
And when you're in that situation, you know, that's the icon, that's the legend, it's Whitney Houston. You know, you just never know. Sometimes it's emotional, you know, no one is perfect. I love her too much, and there's no way I would disrespect her in her life or in her death. So
yeah,
that's all.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that situation had to happen. Moving forward, how do you plan on handling these situations that may arise from, you know, people, you know, in your face or, you know, trying to get you to lose your temper and things like that? What have you learned from this particular experience?
I mean, you know, we all have to have help. You know, we all have to have, when it, you see, the thing about it, like, there's no school to go to on how to be a celebrity, or there's no school to go to on, you know what I mean? Like, there's no school to go to on that, well, when you walk out your door, everybody's watching, you know, people are going to want to take pictures. Like, we don't have a school. Nobody takes you to school, you know what I mean? Like, you have to learn, and as unfortunately, I'm learning as I go. I'm a very sensitive person. I'm very, you know, I'm from New York, you know, I got a little hot-headed in me, but I was not at all high-headed with Whitney, at all. I mean, I loved her too much. Did I get high-headed in Atlanta? Yes. And the reason I did is because I'm a protective mother, and I was looking out for my kid. You're not going to take a picture of my kid behind my back, and then I ask you about it, and you don't want to erase it. And you got nasty, and, you know, she got up, and she was going to fight me. She was taking her earrings off the girl. You know, it's just not right.
It was crazy.
You know, in those instances, people will push you, and as a celebrity, as an artist, as someone that people look up to, you have to think. You have to really think, okay, people are watching me, and I have to be very careful. And you know what is very interesting? I think that what no one understands is that as an artist, you want to be your best. You know what I mean? You want to do your best. You want to give your best, but you're also human. You know, so all I can do is, you know, try to be the best person I can be. I read. I'm getting counseling. I go to my pastor. I go to church. You know, I do the best I can do. And you know, whenever I mess up, I have to take responsibility and learn from it and grow and pray that, you know, people understand that I'm human and just do the best I can do. And just that's all. I want to sing. I want to give my music. And I want people to understand me and know me and know I have a good heart and I'm a good person. And I mean no disrespect or harm to anyone. That's, you know, we're all human. You know what I mean? We're all a work in progress. I'm trying, you know, and I just love people and I want people to know that I love them. I respect them and I want them to love me as an artist and I want them to buy my music and, you know, and I'm learning.
Well, I think you're doing a great job, Stacey. I mean, it is difficult. You brought up a great point. There is no school to learn how to deal with the paparazzi and the people in the street. You know, like Mike Tyson used to have that issue all the time. People were always challenging him, you know, because he was the heavyweight champion of the world, so on and so forth. So it becomes very difficult. You know, you're in the spotlight now, and you may have had some, you know, aspects of your personality that, you know, you were able to deal with prior to your, you know, being a celebrity. And now maybe you just have to be a little bit more careful at how, you know, you approach people and, you know, how to maybe just walk away when people approach you. Real quickly, I don't want to dwell on it too long. In Atlanta, exactly what happened? Because they were saying that you had your baby out. It was, it was like 12 midnight. You shouldn't have had your baby. Just real quickly clear that up.
With that whole thing, the green room is not a club. It's not a nightclub, for one. You know, they said I had my baby in a nightclub and people were drinking and dancing. The green room is not a nightclub. I was there with the owner of the green room. There was someone that was hosting a party. It was like she had a couple of her friends there and people, you know, were hanging out. There was a friend of mine that was at the green room that I had not seen in 10 years. I was on my way to the owner of the green room's home because that's who I was staying with, and she asked me to please stop by because she wanted to meet my daughter. And I was on my way home, and I took her inside. I took her inside so she could meet my daughter. And this woman I guess she didn't like the fact that I was in there. I don't know what it was, but she took a picture of my daughter, and I saw her do it. And then she snuck it or whatever. And I said, you know, did you take a picture of my daughter? I said most times people would ask. And she got very irate about it, the fact that she took the picture and there was nothing I could do about it. And, you know, just got very nasty. She got very nasty with me. Now, this is the deal. I will take responsibility for it. It wasn't after midnight, but I will take responsibility for my daughter being, you know, in that environment for it to be late at night. I'm a parent. When I'm at home, my kids are... They fed dinner by 7, they're in bed by 7:30. That's how it goes. I was in Atlanta, you know, I wasn't at home, and I'm a single mom. I didn't have help with the baby. I took my daughter to meet the girl. There's no justification for her being out late at night. Like I said, I'll take responsibility for that. Somebody taking a picture of my daughter without my permission
and I'm asking them what they're going to do with the picture and why she's taking it behind my back, and she gets nasty about it, she's going to delete the picture. She's going to have to delete the picture because she didn't have good intention for the picture. People come up to me, they're fans, they say to me, we love you, can I have a picture? I saw your daughter on the X Factor, may we have a picture? Because of that affinity, I take the picture. I know they're going to put the picture on Facebook. It'll be a nice post about it. Oh, my God, I saw Stacey Francis and her beautiful daughter. But if somebody's sneaking the picture and they're being nasty, then I'm assuming that they're going to do something very nasty with the picture, as she would have. You know what I'm saying? Because she wasn't a fan. She knew who I was, and she took the picture with very wrong intention. And that's what I didn't like about it. So I asked her to please delete the photo. And she did.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know,
and again, nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. Of course, I love my children. I'm not going to have them in a dangerous environment. That wasn't a nightclub. My friend owned the place. I was there, like I said, I was staying with her. I'm a visitor in her home. I have to travel with her wherever she takes me because I don't have a car. I'm out with her. So we stopped by her venue. She was there. She closed out, you know, her cash register or whatever she was doing. And I said hello to my friend while I was there that I had not seen in 10 years. And just so happens, you know, I gotta remember, people are watching me. Again, I just wasn't aware, and it turned out to be an ugly thing, you know. And, like, the thing that I can say is, yeah, it was late. It was late at night. And I can say when I'm at home, my children are never out that late. People know me. People, my fans know. I'll do a Ustream and be in here quiet. You know, like, listen, my baby's sleeping. You know, my fans know me. So, again, that's going to be the great part about doing a reality show is that people will get to know me for me, and they'll get to see me for me. And, you know, all I can do is say, you know what, yeah, you know, maybe I shouldn't have my daughter out, but a lot of people don't know the circumstances around it. And unfortunately, you know, it looked the way it looked. What are you going to do?
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I wanted you to talk about it because, you know, number one, you got to take a person, you got to take a man or a woman at their word. And number two, no matter how strange a situation may seem, it's not, sometimes things are not always the way they appear to be, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think people do need the benefit.
It was reported like I was in the club, like, you know, drinking and hanging out at the club, and I'm a 2-year-old, you know, hanging out at the club. It's like, no, well, who does that? That's insanity, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I would never do that with my daughter, you know? So, but, you know, it's very interesting. It's a very interesting dynamic when you become a celebrity and, you know, you don't even understand your own magnitude of the celebrity that you are, you know what I mean? I didn't realize that people cared. You know, Wendy Williams is on the TV talking about it today. I'm like, wow, you know, like, whoa. So it's just a matter of me being very aware of the responsibility that I have to, you know, to people and my fans and just letting them know that, hey, you know, I'm actually a very caring woman. I care about my kids. I care about my fans, and I'm not crazy. You know, I seem like it, but I'm not.
And you know what, Stacey? But you know what? You may be a little crazy, and that's okay. You know why? Because most artists don't vibrate the same way as regular people. And I'm saying regular as to say the masses. Because if you vibrated the way they did, you could not create the wonderful music that you do. You know,
thank
you. So you have to vibrate differently.
Yeah,
I think you just.
I don't want to seem reckless. You know, it's like, unfortunately,
yes,
it's like,
I understand
you've been a 2 pipes this year. You know, it's like, come on, you know.
Right.
I'm not that girl. You know what I mean? So,
you know,
I do have people that I'm, you know, I love Mark. Mark is a very good friend of mine as well as, you know, the person that was just on for QB. And, you know, I've been blessed to spend some time with him, and he does marketing for QB. So he's been giving me advice and helping me and publicists.
Excellent.
You know,
excellent.
They help me, and I want to be the best that I can be. I want to take the responsibility of being a great artist and being a great person, and you know, I want to be the best that I can be. I don't, you know, so I'm learning, and like I said, all of it goes into my music, and hopefully that the fans will love it, and they'll see that I'm a real person. I have real issues. I bleed. I go through the same pain they go through, and I have to make decisions, the same kind of decisions they make. You know what I mean?
That's right.
None of us are perfect. We're just all doing the best we can, and the biggest thing for me is I want to take responsibility the most that I can so that people trust me, and they trust that I'm going to be where I say I'm going to be, and that I'm going to deliver as an artist to the public what it is that they want from me, and that's all I can do.
That's right. And you will do it, and it, we're all a work in progress. you've made some mistakes along the way early on in your career, which I got to tell you, I think is actually a good thing for you, because now you can learn. You know what you got to do. You know that the microscope is on you. You know your every move is going to be watched. So I personally think it's better you've done it now than, you know, to have this great career and then all of a sudden this thing hits you, you know, 10 years from now and virtually destroys you, you know.
Right.
So I think you're on point. I mean, you sound like a great person. I don't know you personally. I'm not here to judge you. That's why I tell you I wasn't going to – it wasn't about an ambush. It was just about giving you a platform to tell your story, because only you and God know what the story is anyway, you know.
Yes.
So you got to work that out for yourself. You know, I just wanted you to, you know, to have the opportunity.
Well, I appreciate it. I always appreciate the opportunity to speak out and for people to get to know me. I want to be as transparent as I can be, and I want my fans to really know me. I want the public to know me, and you know, that's all I can do. You know,
And transparency is a good thing. But, you know, you can understand, you know, you just got to be careful, Stacey, because, you know, like when a rumor goes out, oh, you know, after Whitney's funeral, you know, Stacey's selling her story to, you know, a magazine or a newspaper in the UK. And, you know, all of these little things that come out, you know, there may be a reason behind it. There may be a good one. There may be a bad one or whatever. Just always keep in the back of your mind, you know, how far you've come. You know, you've come from Brooklyn, you know, you've made it happen, you know, and the bottom line is that you are truly on a path, you know, of great success. So you don't want to ruin that.
But there's a lot of rumor and a lot of false things that are said about me.
I believe it. I believe it.
I can't counter everything.
You can't.
You know,
nope.
Perez Hilton went in on me. That whole rumor about selling the story.
All
of that stuff. You know, people go in and they make up stuff all the time, and it's intended to hurt me. And artists, we get this. You can't counter everything with.
And you shouldn't. You shouldn't.
You can't. Because there's no way that you can. Because there's always going to be falsehoods and lies told about you. All you can do is be true and be yourself and show up. And hopefully hopefully you'll get a moment like this one on the radio or me on TV where people say, oh, wow, okay, I get it. I see who she is. Okay, I understand the truth now. That's all you can do. You can't counter everything with what people say.
No, you can't. And you shouldn't have to, and you'll drive yourself crazy if you try to. The only thing that you can do is just take responsibility for your actions and do what you got to do. Keep it straight up. Keep it 100, and you'll be okay. You know, because like you said, you cannot go around babysitting, you know, everybody's comment. And just keep in mind also that, you know, you're making your living off of being an entertainer and a musician. And a lot of these other people who are, you know, telling these stories about you or reporting – that's what their business is. Their business is to gossip on you and stuff like that. So, you know, just really be careful. Well, I appreciate you for, you know, taking the time to talk to me about that, because I know that, you know, even though that you agreed to it, I know it had to make you a little uncomfortable. But I do appreciate you for being in you, because I really in my heart feel like, you know, you're letting yourself go and you're telling the truth. And, you know, the word that you're using, you know, you're definitely trying to be transparent. When was the last time that you cried?
I cry every day.
Every day? Okay. What do you cry about?
I cry about, you know, if I make the wrong decisions, or, you know, I pray to God and I cry in the morning and I cry out to him for me to be the best person I can be and what I should say. And, I don't know, I got probably my publicist and Mark right now listening like, oh, she's talking too much, you know, but I like to speak out. I like to speak from my heart, and maybe that's not always good, but, you know, I'm always crying out to God, listen, you know, make me right, make me whole, make me, you know, the best person I can be, and I want people to love me, and I want to love everybody, and I want to be the best person I can be. So sometimes that's me before my kids wake up in the morning. It's me crying out to him right here in my living room on my knees crying out, Lord, you know, clean my heart, make me whole. Like, make me whole. You're
that's
the only
right.
one that can do it for me. So
that's
what I cry out for. And, you know, I listen to music. I'll hear a song. I'll listen to gospel music, and something will move me, and I'll cry again. I really, truly want to help people. I want my music to help people. I want my story to help people. I want to be an example of strength and tenacity and perseverance for women and for people with dreams. And that sometimes takes
some healing, you know, for me, but also it takes, like, you know, it takes me going through my own bit of pain, or that we talked about that earlier, my pain to get me through that. And my pain and some of the decisions that I make, sometimes they make me cry. So
yeah.
I do pray that the Holy Spirit guides me and that the Holy Spirit dwells in me, and when I make a mistake, I cry and I ask God to forgive me. You know, that's it.
Yeah. What makes you happy, Stacey?
Music makes me happy. Music makes me happy. People make me happy. Fans make me happy. Reading my Twitter wall makes me happy. Talking to somebody like you that's interested in my career makes me happy. You know, people that are supportive of me, of my music, that makes me happy. I get a chance to sing for the world and got a song on iTunes. That makes me happy. My children, more than anything, I can sit in my house with my kids all day and they make me laugh. And my son dances to Michael Jackson. That makes me happy.
That's nice.
You know,
yeah.
I live in California in a beautiful L.A. and it makes me happy. Those things make me happy. You know, so there are things that make me happy. And, you know, you got the good and the bad.
Yeah, you got a lot making you happy. What makes you sad, Stacey?
What makes me sad is just really I want to know the intention of the universe and why I'm here and what I'm here to do. And if I'm not doing it, I get a little sad. If I feel like I'm not fulfilling what I'm supposed to fulfill as far as my purpose, if I feel like God is not, if I'm not listening to him and I make a mistake, you know, that makes me sad. I want to make sure that I live right, and sometimes I mess up and, you know, I beat myself up a lot for that, you know. Those things make me sad, and sometimes being away from my family because they're all the way on the East Coast, that might make me sad. I get lonely sometimes. So, you know, those things kind of hurt a little bit, but, you know, like I said, you take the good with the bad. It's all balance.
No. Do you feel you've been true to yourself this year?
This year, I've been true to myself. I would say it's probably the first year in my life that I've really, really been true to myself, and it's because I watched myself on The X Factor and I finally fell in love with myself. So, you know, I had my moments in the beginning of the year where, you know, I was a little too sensitive and I operated too much on emotion, and I'm just learning every day to not be as emotional and to try to think things through and, you know, and be as true to myself as possible. And I'm very, very true to myself in the sense of when someone asks me a question, I give a direct answer and I give the truth. And a lot of times, you know, in this business, sometimes maybe you shouldn't be as forthright, but I feel like it's important as an artist. I want people to know me. I want them to really, truly know me, because what I've realized is that if you just let the fans and people try to figure it out and they fill in this empty vacuum without you filling it in with the truth, then they're going to fill it in whatever they want to, and most times it's negative. So I try to put in the truth there. You know, so being true to myself, maybe people might not like it, but there are people that do and people that respect it.
Absolutely. Do you feel free right now?
I love your questions. I feel free. I still feel a little bit afraid sometimes and wondering where my career will take me. But, you know, God, that's building my relationship with the Lord even more and trusting him more and knowing that he got my back and he's going to take care of me and my kids. And, you know, so that gives you freedom when you just learn how to lean and depend on Jesus. It gives you a lot of freedom, yes.
Are you excited about the future and what the future holds, or are you more afraid of what the future may hold?
I'm excited. Every day brings something new. I had no idea yesterday that I would talk to you and you'd be as amazing as you are and this interview would be so amazing. You know, I knew it was coming up, but I didn't know what to expect. So, you know, God does everything he does for a reason, and you just have to trust him and know that if you expect good, good will come. If you expect bad, bad will come. You know, it's just learning and leaning and depending on him and just trusting that I'm where I'm supposed to be when I'm supposed to be there.
Yeah. When you knew you were going to do this interview today, what were your expectations, if you had any?
Well, I knew you would ask me about Whitney. I knew you would ask me about the fight in Atlanta. Those things were kind of uncomfortable, but, again, they happened. So, you know, unfortunately, I have to talk about them. But I didn't have any expectation. I walked in and hoped that it would be great, and I got what I expected.
Excellent. I'm glad you had a great time. We're going to wrap things up real quickly. What artists do you listen to? What artists turn you on? What kind of music do you like to listen to?
I listen to gospel music. I listen to Jay Maas, Karen Clark Sheard, Marvin Sapp, Ernest Ernest Pugh, Mary Mary. I listen to inspirational music a lot these days. I listen to Beyonce on the R&B side and Mariah Carey and old school Whitney Houston stuff and Celine Dion and Barbra Streisand. You know, I listen to a lot of soprano singers. They inspire me. But most times, you know, because of my journey right now, I listen to a lot of gospel because I really, really, really am trying to know more about the Lord and really have Him working on my heart. And I feel like sometimes I need to be in that space. And
yeah,
so that music is the thing that inspires me.
What do you do to cope with the everyday, you know, anxieties, the everyday pressures? What do you do to cope? How do you cope?
I take my kids to the park. I spend a lot of time with my children. When I can't be with them, if they have the babysitter, I'll take myself to the beach for a minute. I'll look at my Twitter feed, you know. I look at the people that inspire me, my fans. I have a very close relationship with a very wonderful woman, and she reads me. We read the Bible sometimes together, and she's a spiritual guide for me. And my coping mechanism is Jesus Christ right now, you know, and really, really learning more about Him and just praying a lot about what my purpose is and trying to find it, you know. And, you know, I look at the blessing of, like I said earlier, about QB. QB came at a time when I was just like, how am I going to pay for a video? I just have no idea how this is going to work out. And sure enough, QB came along, and I felt like it was a blessing. I mean, they did that completely as a support and on the strength of me. They believed in my music, and I didn't have to pay for it. And it was like, wow, you know, and God is good, and He works it out like that. And it's an amazing video, and in exchange, they are amazing. And I don't mind talking about how great they are because they are great. And so, you know, God works it out. And so that's how I cope. That's my belief system. You know, it's really faith, just a lot of faith.
Well, God is good, and God is definitely great. We're going to wrap things up. What I'd like you to do now is, and folks know how to reach you, but go over all your stuff, how they can reach you on Twitter, Facebook, your QB.com, you know, that link. Let everyone know exactly how they can get you, how they can see the video, so on and so forth, so folks can know how to reach
so
you. Stacey Francis.
Everything actually can be found through QB. So go to QBEEY.com/StaceyFrancis, S-T-A-C-Y, Francis, F-R-A-N-C-I-S. And they can get everything there. They can get my Twitter, my Facebook. They can see my pictures, my videos, my bio. Everything can be found there. I can be found there. They can talk to me. We can reschedule. I can schedule video chat with them. And so that's the best way to reach me through QB right now. I think it's an amazing outlet. It's all in one. It's the best way to find me. So that's what I'm hoping the fans will do. Just go straight there.
Excellent, excellent. Stacey Francis, I got to tell you, it was a pleasure having you here tonight.
Well, that's a pleasure talking to you. I look forward to meeting you one day.
Oh, absolutely. I'm from Brooklyn. I'm out in Strong Island right now, but I'm in you know, Brooklyn a lot still.
Okay.
Still go there to get my haircuts with what little bit of hair I got left.
Okay. Okay, that's what's up.
You
well,
know,
I'm in New York in a couple of months, so I'll make sure.
Okay,
yeah.
Maybe we can hook up then. Yeah, we can have lunch or something like that. And I got to do the Matt Lauer on you. You got to ask all your 400,000 Twitter and Facebook followers to follow BlakeRadio.com, you know.
No problem. I'm going to do that right now.
You got to give them the mandate, Nina.
Okay,
and
I'll do that. I'm going to shout them out. I'm going to shout you out right now and tell them to follow you. And also, you know what I want to tell you? I'm going to do a live concert at QB. So if anybody that lives in the L.A. area, they follow me on Twitter. We're going to announce more about that. And you can win a ticket to come see me. I'm going to do a concert at QB for about 200 people. And we're going to live stream it.
You hear that, folks? She's giving you a front row seat ticket to see this, so you got to check out Stacey Francis.
That's amazing, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. We also want to thank Mark Brogdon for stopping by. He's from QB. We really do appreciate him stopping by for checking in. We're going to have him probably on again at some other point because the technology is incredible. I mean, I logged on, saw the video. I didn't see the whole thing about, you know, having you walk on my desktop and all that kind of stuff. So I that's fascinating to me, you know. To be able to see that.
Own QB channel. Trust
yeah.
me.
Wow, wow. It's incredible. Stacey Francis, any last comments before we cut out of here?
No, I just want to, you know, I want to say thank you to you again. I want to thank Phyllis, the publicist that reached out to you for me. I really appreciate all my team that works for me, and they're really, 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 really amazing for believing in me. I appreciate that. And, of course, the QB.com / Stacey Francis for my channel. You know, I really, really, let me tell you, as an independent artist, you really, really understand the magnitude of what it means when anybody wants to talk to you, when anybody's interested in you, because, you know, it could just be like no phone calls and nothing.
That's right.
You know?
That's
so I feel very, very blessed and very, very honored that you had me on, and I really appreciate you for it. I really do. I'm going to lead everybody to your Twitter page and everybody to this interview so that for the next couple of days people can tune in and hear it. And thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been a pleasure, Stacey. And we're going to end this interview with one of my favorite tracks, Everything Must Change. And there's like at least 100 versions of that track. We're going to do the one by Miles J. And as Stacey Francis knows, everything must change. I'm Neil Blake. Until next time, take it easy.
Everything must change. Nothing stays the same. Everyone must change. No one stays the same. The young become the old. Mysteries do unfold. Thank you.
My name is Susan L. Taylor, Editor-in-Chief Emeritus of Essence Magazine. My sadness and depression grew out of giving myself to my career before I would give myself to myself. And then I am out there speaking in front of thousands of people with a smile pasted on my face but dying on the inside. Hiding sadness makes you more and more sad because it closes you off. Giving voice to what you're feeling is part of the healing. We're dying, and the most revolutionary and healing thing that black people can do right now is to love one another.
This is Terry Williams, co-founder of the Stay Strong Foundation. Mental illness is devastating our community, and it's up to us to stop it. It's time for us to wake up, stand up, and speak up. And what I know is, together, we can do this. Search online for stories that heal. We must share ourselves. Healing starts with us. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and the Stay Strong Foundation.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best, featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.